Okay, we are in Matthew's Gospel, and we have been wandering through for the last few months Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're at Matthew chapter 5. We're at verses 38 to 42 today. So you want to turn in your Bibles there. If you want to get a Bible, there aren't any Bibles left, but I'm sure someone could help you. Look at their Bible. And why don't we ask the Lord to help us in prayer as we come into these words. Let's pray together. Father, we want to pray, thanking you for the words sung, and we just thank you for everything that's been prayed for. When I think about Heather in hospital today, Father, we pray for a quick recovery, that she would be home soon, and we pray for Stephen and all the girls, Lord, that you would bless and encourage and strengthen that family. Help us now as we try and focus and concentrate on what is a difficult part of the Bible, Lord, particularly for us. Help us by the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I was reading the news this week, some interesting things going on in the news. A man, I don't know where he's from, but I read it in the paper. A man caught his girlfriend cheating this week, so he sawed their car in half. Yes, got a whatever he got out. He got a car. He sawed the car in half. Then he sawed their flat screen in half. Then he sawed their bed in half, and he sawed her favorite teddy in half. He gave her one half. And he sold the rest on eBay. Now, the amazing thing about that story is, who buys half stuff on eBay? Some randomers, right? But apparently someone bought all this half stuff. Anyway, point was, he said a guy was raging. And he got his own back in style. Another man got 14 months in jail this week for running an elderly gentleman over three times. So he ran into him, reversed over him, and ran into him again. The guy's crime, standing in his parking space. So he ran a guy over three times because he stood in his car parking spot. And when he was asked, why did you do it? He said, because I was frustrated. Frustrated. So he ran a guy over. You know, in Nidri, we like a bit of justice, don't we? Local style justice. So if somebody slaps our kid at school, you go around their house and you kick their dad up and down the street, don't you? Or maybe that's not your kid, but if maybe that's not your thing, but if a child abuser moves into the street, his windows soon get put through and he's run out of town. That's justice, local style, right? That's what happens. If somebody gobs off about you on Facebook, you get jumped at the school gates, don't they? Yeah, Ronnie's saying, yeah. We have rules and we have laws. And it's the law of the jungle. Some of them are written down by the law of the land. Some of them, we write them down, don't we? The law of where you live and how you live. And so as you come to this section here, these few little verses on the Sermon on the Mount, we get to this principle in the Bible that's called an eye for an eye. We've all heard of it. You don't have to be a Christian. You have to go to a church. We've all heard the saying, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And just let me just read out three verses from the Old Testament just to show you where this law comes from. So you don't have to turn here. I'll just read it. If you're making notes, you can write it down. Exodus 21, 24 and 25 says this, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. So if somebody does any of that to you, you return like for like, okay? Second law, Leviticus 24:20, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Just as he has injured a man, so it shall be inflicted on him. So if you hurt somebody like that, you get hurt in return in the same way. Old Testament law. Here's the third one, Deuteronomy 19, verse 21. Thus you shall not show pity, life for life. If you kill, you will be killed. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So basically, for the Jews in the Old Testament, the punishment should always match the crime. Okay? Simple principle of law. We all get that, right? And why? Why were they so severe with these laws? Why did they have strict laws? Well, Deuteronomy 19:20 says this. Here's why. The rest, that means the other people in the land, will hear and be afraid. And will never again do such an evil thing among you. The laws were so strict to keep people in line. And so these three verses, this law was around as Jesus speaks in verse 38. So understand, this law has been around for thousands of years. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And then Jesus speaks. So let's read what Jesus says about these laws. He says, you've heard it said. Where? In those three texts I read to you. That's where. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So here is Jesus on the mountainside quoting Exodus 21. I know what you're smiling at because you're all thinking, I'm going for a quick lend off Mez after because of that last verse, but we'll get to that. Jesus quoting Exodus 21, he's quoting the law. He said, you've heard it said by your leaders that we should seek vengeance. But he says, that teaching, that understanding of the law is wrong. Remember, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to correct their faulty understanding of it. And so Exodus 21, when it talks about bruise for bruise and foot for foot and eye for eye and tooth for tooth, that was meant to set limits on punishment for crime. So, for instance, back in the day, if a man stole your cow, you couldn't just kill him in revenge. That wasn't acceptable. You had to do something that was the equivalent of that. You could steal his cow, but I don't think Jesus means that either, Ronnie, but we'll get there, son. Okay, pal. So the point is, it's an eye for an eye, not a leg for an eye, or a head for a tooth. Why was the law given like that? It was given to stop angry people from going over the top in seeking justice. It's a boundary thing. It's to stop hotheads from going, right, you've done this to me, did you? I'm round your house tomorrow, and I'll smash your face in, kill all your family members, and burn your house to the ground. Does that sound familiar? Because that's what we like our vengeance with a bit of gravy on top, don't we? And so they gave the law to say, whoa, 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 you can't do that. You cannot exceed the limit. If somebody sinned against you or broke a law, you can't go above that. It has to remain equal. Do we understand the point? But the Jews were teaching it wrong. The Jews were taking the law and twisting in it. And they were saying, look, the Bible says eye for eye, do what you like. If someone does you, do them. It's in the Bible. Get them done. But they conveniently forgot Leviticus 19:18. Listen to Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this. Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. Listen to Proverbs 24, 29. Do not say, I'll do to them as they've done to me. I'll pay them back for what they have done. No, Jesus is saying in Matthew 5, he's going even further. He's saying, listen, Christians, people who follow me, people who want to be disciples of Jesus, must give up the thought of vengeance altogether. Now, of course, we got to seek justice. If we see people being harmed or being wronged or the weak being abused, we must step in and help the weak. But we can never, under any circumstances, Jesus says, take personal vengeance against anybody, particularly our enemies. Look at what he says. He's very clear, isn't he, in verse 29? I tell you, don't resist an evil person. In other words, he says, don't retaliate. Even if the person is evil, even if they are wrong, even if they are at it, you have no right to resist them. Well, and you, hang on a minute, doesn't Jesus know what Nidri's like? Is he saying we're supposed to let people take liberties with us? Is that what Jesus is saying? Is a Christian just supposed to sit back and take it when people are trying to be wide? Yes. In a word. Now listen to me. Jesus is not saying we cannot defend ourselves if somebody comes at us. He's talking about revenge. He's talking about vengeance. He's talking about how should you respond if somebody wrongs you as a Christian. He's not saying you shouldn't stand up and speak out. He's saying something really, really radical. Listen to how Paul puts it in Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And the problem with the human race since the beginning of time is we don't believe that. We don't think God will avenge. We don't trust the justice of God. We want justice for ourselves, and we want it now. Remember Cain and Abel back in Genesis 4. Let me read out to you from Genesis 4. Abel kept flocks, Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn. The Lord looked on favor with Abel and his offering, and on Cain and his offering, he didn't look on favor. So what happened? God liked one offering, didn't like the other. So what happened? Bible tells us, Cain is angry. His face is downcast. In other words, he's properly annoyed with his brother. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must not let it rule over you. What God is saying is, rein yourselves in. I know what's going on. You want to take it out on your brother, but I'm saying, calm yourself. Calm yourself. What does he do? Cain said to his brother, let's go into this field. And while they're in the field, Cain attacks his brother, Abel, and he kills him. Bosh, revenge. He just couldn't help himself, could he? It's that there's something built into the gut of every single one of us that we want to take revenge on people who hurt us or who hurt our family or who hurt our friends. Particularly if you're a bloke, you feel like less of a man, don't you? If you don't right a wrong. If somebody publicly, you know, tries to belittle you. Maybe they sub you on the football pitch and you don't like it. The old pride takes a bit of a knee, doesn't it? You think, I better show these people I'm not a dingle here, by the way, because I'm looking like a right clown in front of people. People need to see I'm not a person to be messed with. I'm going to get some respect. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to slap this clown up and down so people see, don't mess with me. Now, some of us are less explosive, aren't we? We don't slap people about. We're a bit more polite than that, aren't we? We like our revenge with tea and a biscuit, don't we? We smile, we're dead polite and that. Oh, no, it's perfectly fine. It's all right, thank you. You little liars. We don't fancy all-out confrontation, so what do? Oh, we burn inside, don't we? We rage. We let our thoughts run away with us. Well, if they do that, I'll do this. If they say that, I'll do this. But we don't do anything, really, because we're wusses. So we just rage inside instead. And when we see them, like, oh, yeah. We obsess on things. If our other half annoys us, well, we'll just withhold a bit of love, won't we? How would you like them apples? That'll teach them. We see it, don't we? Even in the spiteful behavior of our children. We gang up on each other, and you have that, and I have that, and I'm going to take this, and you're going to do that. Mommy took my biscuit. Well, I'll take his biscuit. Vengeance, hardwired into us. Even, you know, someone pushes in front of you in the supermarket. You're all very British, aren't you? Like, So you just stare at their heads really hard like that. Maybe you tut a bit loudly so they can hear, so you know how angry you are. On the road, somebody cuts us up, and you just get that urge, don't you, just to slam their car off the road, get out and run over their head. And it's not me, it's all of us who have that feeling. I'm not a psycho. Or one of our friends tells us something. Oh, I was talking to so-and-so, and you should have heard what she said about you. Oh, did she? Well, she's a rat, by the way. Wait till I tell you what she said about you. We get annoyed. We get riled. There's something in us that wants revenge. Boom. Remember, Jesus has already said something back in the sermon, hasn't he? In verses 22 and 23. Remember what he said? He said, I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, you remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Don't do it. And what's Jesus saying in verse 39? He's saying, you can't resist evil. We've got to hold on, hold back from this desire to take revenge. He's saying, in a situation of confrontation, don't throw fuel on the fire. So if somebody mugs you off on Facebook, don't start a Facebook war. Have you seen them ones? Somebody says something, oh, you should see so-and-so's cat. Turns into 4,000 comments by 300 people, and all of a sudden there's a gang war out on the street because someone didn't like a picture of a cat. Don't do that. Turn the other cheek, he says here. Turn the other cheek. They slap you, bosh, turn the other one. That's, you know, even for us, I'm thinking, if somebody slapped me in the face, I don't think I'd be going, oh, have that one. That's a hard thing. In that culture, there's nothing lower in Middle Eastern culture when Jesus said these words than being slapped in the face. Imagine, it would be like this. If somebody came up and spat in your face, how would you feel? You think you'd hold it together? Would you go, well, why don't you have a little, you missed a bit, why don't you have a spit there? I'd be boiling. So don't think when Jesus, you know, was standing on the mountain, going, turn the other cheek, they're all going, oh, that's brilliant, Jesus. That's the best message I've ever heard. I think I'll just go around today and just turn the other cheek. Hey, you, slap me. Ooh, my hand again. They were boiling on that mountain. They're like, this guy can't be for real. Turn the other cheek. No chance. But Paul is clear, isn't he? I've read it. Let me remind us again. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, listen to this next words, because it's really important if you're a Christian. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, not on them, live at peace with everyone. Peter, 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insults. On the other hand, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. In other words, Jesus is saying Christians should never escalate arguments between one another or with outsiders. But come on, Jesus. There's got to be a way, there's got to be a cheeky little trapdoor for us, right, to get out of it, because that's just too hard. We've got reputations to keep. This is Nidri, for goodness sake. Unlucky. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You think it's hard here? Listening to these words, these people were being persecuted by the Romans, absolutely ripping it out of them. The followers of Jesus would be brutally murdered, and still this teaching held. There were people in that culture who held grudges in the Middle East. Blood feuds were hardcore. Generations they went on. But Jesus saying, seek the good of your enemy, not his bad. This is hardcore teaching. This is the sort of love that requires some effort. This is the sort of love that requires some work. This is the sort of love that requires us putting others above ourselves. But somebody comes up and slaps you in the face in Nidri, and you go, well, have another bash. We'd be getting our head smashing every day, wouldn't we? We go, look at this bam. Surely there must be an out. Surely there must be a little out in the Bible where if someone gobs off at you, you can take them around the back and just give them a couple of kidney punches and leave them in the car park. I've looked and it's not there. Even Stephen in Acts chapter 7, goes to his death while they're stoning him, praying for his enemies. This is brutal teaching. This is brutal teaching. We never take revenge. He goes further, look at verses 40 and 41. Not only should you turn the other cheek, he says, but you should let people take liberties with you. So some dude wants to sue you. He's trying to screw you. Yeah? Jesus says, well, if you want my stuff that badly, take it all. Have the shirt off my back. That's where that phrase comes from. Have it. You want it? Take it. It's irrelevant. Why? Because I'm a follower of Jesus. This world means nothing to me. If it means that much to you, take it, son. It's there for you. We live in a world, don't we? Everybody wants their pound of flesh. Everybody suing everybody. People sue on a whim. We don't like people taking our stuff. We don't like people taking liberties with us. But Jesus says, do not resist these people. Give them the shirt off your back. Don't worry about your rights. Chill. But what about those? But Jesus, what about those people who really take advantage of us, though? What about those people who they press all our buttons? They're just on a wind-up. Surely, Jesus, surely we don't have to resist those people. Surely we can do something. What does he say? Look at verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. That seems a bit weird. Let me explain that verse. These Jews lived under Roman occupation. So a Roman dude is walking down the road, soldier's walking down the road, and he sees you. He thinks, right, Mike, you over here, you're a Jewish dude. Here's my stuff. Pick it up and take it back to my house. These guys forced, you could force any non-Roman person to do whatever you wanted. Pick up your stuff, carry your shopping home, whatever. They had to do it, right? Or they died. The legal limit, for some reason, was you couldn't force a person to carry your stuff more than a mile. I don't know. That's the law in Rome. So when you got to a mile, you could dump the stuff and say, on your bike. I've done it. But you were forced to carry the load. Don't you think there were Romans absolutely taking the absolute Michael out of these Jews? Or you, over here, get that stuff picked up and carry it to my house, you plum. Let's go. And you had to pick, you'd be like that, wouldn't you? We'll smash this in the back of your head, pal. And what does Jesus say? You know what? I will carry it, and I'll carry it 2 miles in your face, and maybe I'll sing a few cheeky songs about Jesus on the way, just to wind you up. You want to screw me, then screw me. Why? Because Jesus is saying there is a greater judgment to come. Let's see who's screwed then. Then we get to verse 42. All the blaggers out here are loving this verse. Let's read it again. If anyone... give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. There's a blaggers verse, right? I found a right verse in the Bible, by the way, Mez Gizatena. Jesus says, can't turn us away in that. You know what I mean? Yes. Don't bother coming round my house. So, sorry to disappoint you. It doesn't quite mean that. It's more about lending and giving without worrying whether you lose out or not. Listen to 1 John 3:17. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love one another, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Christians should be generous. We should be generous with one another, but in this context, we should even be generous with those who are enemies. with those who wind us up and those who don't deserve us to be generous with because they annoy us. And maybe they've done us over before. They've screwed us over one too many times. So it's easy to be generous with your bezer. Lenders a tenner, yeah. But some clown who annoys the absolute pants off you? Don't think so, pal. Go whistle for it. It's like my girls who call me a loser and they say my jokes aren't funny. They are. I think they're quite funny, by the way. I think they're a bit harsh. But it's funny how funny my jokes become when I've got a tenner in my hand. I mean, I'm hilarious. I'm the funniest guy in town then. But, you know, I'm not funny, am I? You want some money, do you? Unlucky. That's the principle at play. You've done me, have you? I mean, that's a childish principle, but there's a bigger principle at play. You know what I'm saying. Somebody offends us. One day, we clock it. One day, they come to us. We find out they need us, and we're like, yeah? Isn't that right, pal? But we don't let on. It's not there for you. But we know why we're doing it, right? We kept that bad boy stored up for the day we can get our own back. We make them pay. But do you know what? All we get when we repay evil for evil is evil. The Christian has to repay evil with love. That is the Christian way. No matter how hard we find it, it's the most radical thing we can do in the world. And some of us are living with hard, critical, bitter hearts, twisted by the things that people have done to us. I know. I was one of those people for a very, very long time. But we have got to learn forgiveness, particularly to those who do not deserve it. That's the hardest forgiveness of all. Now, be clear, Jesus is not saying the Old Testament teaches vengeance and he teaches forgiveness. He is saying you've misunderstood the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, don't hate your fellow countryman in your heart. You should surely tell off your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the sons of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The religious leaders are encouraging God's people and saying, don't worry about it. If someone sins against you, you know, do them right back. It's like when I was a kid, I came in and, Dad, someone hit me. Yeah? Well, go in and slap the face off of him. They were discouraging that kind of thinking. But many of us, we hold bitterness and grudges, and it's a bitter, bitter poison. Violence is the model in many of our lives. And many of us who are more respectable, real, from real inner, cancerous, poisonous, bitter envy, and it eats away at people. It's an ugly thing. Torn up inside. Pretending everything's lovely, but inside we're just a mess. We feel angry when someone overlooks us for something. We feel let down. We feel insulted. We feel annoyed. We feel cheated. We feel disrespected. And so we nurse these grudges that we carry around for years. And do you know what they do? They rob us of so much peace. They rob us of so much joy. When I was a young man, came from a terrible background, as many of you know, and I was an angry, bitter, evil little sod. 10 years, drug-induced, chaotic, manic life. And the only person I ever hurt, I hurt people, but the only person I was really destroying was myself. Christians, don't settle for that. Don't settle for the person who's just bad company because they're always on a downer, complaining, never happy, always negative, can't bring yourself to rejoice with others. That's not the way of the disciple of Jesus. How hard is this to hear? How hard is this to live? Flipping hard. I've had to live with it all week. Because this sort of radical living in the face of hostility points us to Jesus. We who deserved what punishments got what mercy. What does Paul say? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Jesus died for his enemies. Jesus died while his enemies spat in his face, gambled over his clothes. So we must die to our pride, our anger, our thirst for vengeance, our thirst for respect, this drive for revenge. You have heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow you. May God help us. Amen.